the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello
good morning.
There.
I want to wish my uncle
a happy birthday today because his name is Kulman Kadjetan. He was born on this day.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I remember and, that. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
I want to welcome Gabby back.
Yeah. I thought I was hearing a strange voice in my ear. What the heck? Hey, Gabby.
It's good to be back. Hey.
Well, we hope you had a great trip from what we understand you did. The weather held up for you?
The weather was magnificent, and it was a nice trip before we went back to school. So, yeah, back to work, back to school. We had an amazing time.
Well, great. Maybe we'll learn a little bit more about it as the day goes on. In the meantime, we always like to open with a prayer. And as Dave mentioned, today is the feast day of St. Kadjetan, so we will pray to him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear St. Kadjetan, Your happiness consists of being united with Jesus to savor his presence in the Eucharist. Guide us to be like you by giving priority to prayer in our life. Inspire us to understand that prayer is not just asking Jesus for our needs, but being with him, delighting in his presence. We ask you this, dear Saint, to lead us in this direction that we may learn to delight in Jesus' presence. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And you do that by being quiet.
Oh.
I can do that.
Yeah.
You'll not hear from me again today. So
I can't.
Dave will be in
prayer.
We'll
learn more later on in today's show. But we have a great lineup for you today, starting off with Dr. Michael Griffin. He is the DePaul Community Health Center's president and CEO in New Orleans. They help a lot of people who are in need, homeless shelters, those who really need assistance. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Griffin today about some upcoming events and how we can give back to the community. And that is coming up in 5 minutes. In 18 minutes, Lonnie Thibodeau joins us. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And today we're going to be talking about the upcoming Bayou Catholic Magazine, their August issue. So if you have it in your hand or you're looking forward to reading more or learning more, then stick around for that interview with Lonnie. In 35 minutes, you know, it's
getting
I need another cup
it,
of
Gabby.
Coffee. Alan McLearod. Alan joins us. He's a co-author of the book Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday he joins us to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. But we're actually not talking about teens today. We're talking about preteens, you guys, which is what I'm going through at the moment.
Yep.
So we're going to be talking about all the moods, all the stuff before we get into that phase in life. So Alan and I will be having a really great conversation. And in 48 minutes, Father Donald Calloway joins us. Really looking forward to this interview. He's a Catholic priest, author, and speaker. Today we're talking about his book called Champions of the Rosary, The History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. And Father Calloway is the priest to talk to about all of this stuff. So
he
looking forward to it.
He is amazing.
Yes, yeah. Looking forward to that. And anybody getting used to these triple-digit heat temperatures?
As long as I'm inside.
Yes. Okay. Well,
I'm loving it.
Yeah, I'm glad Dave's loving it because not many of us are. And it will continue, folks. This heat dome is not going away anytime soon. In fact, only a 5% chance of rain today. Tomorrow may not hit 100, only because there's about a 20% chance of rain in the forecast.
Oh, boy.
The high tomorrow, by the way, 99, for those keeping track. Temperatures in the area right now, everybody's in the 80s, so enjoy it. Wake Up's continuing in a moment.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children.
Thank you, Father Chris, for today's Gospel. It is 8 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. You can join the Coffee Club by going to our website at ccmedia.live, which is what I'm a part of, but I need to actually get a second cup of coffee to make it all worth it today on a Monday morning. So when you join the Coffee Club, it's a recurring $30 a month donation to Catholic Community Media, and our recurring donations sustain us for monthly expenses we have, especially that dreadful, dreadful power bill that we have to pay every month because it is so hot.
I'm ready to get on top creamed. Of the
and especially inside where the equipment is also hot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but ccmedia.live is where you can go and click the donate button. And Dave, you know, whenever I got back from vacation because I unplugged last week.
Yeah, you weren't even
devastated
able
to hear. I was devastated to hear the passing of Father Mark Beard. Mm-hmm. Shocked, honestly. So yeah. I know I'm a little late to that, but there's something that we're covering tomorrow.
Yes, we are. We're going to handle this on Thursday. The Thursday is the funeral of Father Mark Beard. And we're going to be covering that funeral. We're going to be in the Baton Rouge on WPYR. In the Baton Rouge, we're going to be playing that funeral.
Public visitation is Thursday, August 10th, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. Mass will begin at 11 o'clock, a memorial mass for Father Mark Beard. And that the Baton Rouge clergy from the Diocese of Baton Rouge, as well as lay faithful, are going to be there. Give us an opportunity here in the Baton Rouge area to pay our respects to Father Mark. And at the same time, Friday, there will be visitation for parishioners of St. Helena Church Parish in a meet. That'll be from 8 until 11 as well, with a funeral mass for the family and parishioners to follow. Burial will follow at a meet, Memorial Gardens at a meet. So. Yeah. Keep the family in your prayers.
Now, those of you listening on 690 AM, you're going to hear regular programming. If you do want to hear it, go ahead and log on to our app, and you can hear the funeral on the 1380 part of your map.
That'll begin at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. On Thursday.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for that continued prayers as well. We're talking to our first guest for today's show, Dr. Michael Griffin. He's a DePaul Community Health Center's president and CEO in New Orleans. Good morning, Dr. Griffin. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you with us today and talk about the wonderful work that you guys do. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit about the services that you provide in the greater New Orleans area?
Yeah, so DePaul Community Health Center is one of the largest health centers in the state of Louisiana. We're a primary care provider, and we focus on actually providing medical care, dental care, behavioral health. We have pharmacies. We treat over 50,000 patients, and really our focus is keeping our patients healthy, keeping them out of a hospital, an emergency room, managing chronic conditions and diseases, and educating our patients on how to stay healthy. And we treat the entire family. So we actually have a prenatal program for pregnant moms all the way to geriatric patients and seniors. And we manage a lot of chronic conditions, diabetes, hypertension. So we are your friendly neighborhood community physician and practice, but with a lot of wraparound services. And we are the largest faith-based health center in the state.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And this is a very important week, too, because it's National Health Centers Week. I want to make sure I got that right. So can you tell us what's going on this week for you guys?
Yes. So National Health Center Week is something we celebrate every year. It's sponsored by the National Association of Community Health Centers. And community health centers, there's over 1,300 community health centers nationwide. Community health centers really combined make up the largest primary care organization and practice across the country, managing about over 30 million patients throughout the nation. And so we celebrate the first week, full week of August, we celebrate the community health centers nationwide. So what we're going to be doing at the Paul Community Health Center is we're going to have a full week of activities. August 7th, we're going to have, today, we're going to have a baby shower for our pregnant moms, which will be at our Carrollton location in New Orleans from 9 until 11. All the way through the week, we're going to have activities there. We have an associate employee appreciation on Thursday. We're going to have a voter registration drive. Also, we're actually going to have a back-to-school event on the 11th. Gosh. So this goes from August 7th through the 11th, and every day there's some activities really connecting with our community, connecting with our patients, and doing work that we'd love to do, again, in really uplifting the entire community.
It's a lot of things going on, a lot of exciting things and ways that we can help others, right? So Catholic Community Media, we're pro-life and we're all coming together. Pro-life can be a bipartisan issue. And we come together to help those in all stages of life, babies, those in homeless shelters, or those who need health care and information as well, all stages of life. And that's exactly what you guys do over at the DePaul Community Health Center. Where can we go, Dr. Griffin, to learn a little bit more, because you do have a lot of events? Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Yes, www.depaulcommunityhealthcenters.org, or you can call 504-207-3060, 504-207-3060 to get more information, or at our website.
Thank you so much, Dr. Michael Griffin, DePaul Community Health Center's President and CEO in New Orleans. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're taking it over to the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. Lonnie Thibodeau joins us to give us an inside peek of what you're going to be finding in the August issue of the Bayou Catholic Magazine. Stay with us. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for August 7th. Today we celebrate Saint Cajetan. Cajetan started out as a lawyer, but made a midlife career change when he was ordained at 36. For a time, he was part of a religious community made up only of men from the lowest stations in life. For that, he was accused of bringing shame on his wealthy family. Over the years, Cajetan sensed that the 15th century's greatest need was the reformation of the Church. He and three friends, among them the future Pope Paul IV, decided that the best road to reformation lay in reviving the spirit and zeal of the clergy. Together, they founded a congregation known as the Theatines. It proved to be outstanding among the Catholic reform movements that took shape before the Protestant Reformation. Cajetan's emphasis on reform extended to the world of banking as well. He founded one of many charitable nonprofit credit organizations that lent money on the security of pawned objects. Its purpose was to help the poor and protect them from exorbitant interest rates. His organization ultimately became the Bank of Naples. Cajetan died in 1557 and was canonized in 1671. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Eighteen past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And right now on the phone, we got Lonnie Thibodeau, Director of Media and Public Relations of the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. He's going to update us on things that are going on down the bayou. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing, my friend?
Just trying to get my mouth to work on a Monday morning. It's just it's not catching up with my brain. How are things down there? What's going on?
Well, things are good.
Yeah.
A couple of quick things I will just tell you right off the bat. We ordained three new priests
within the last
3 weeks or so. So that's always a great thing.
It is.
And then kind of, I guess, transitioning into what we're really talking about, the Bayou Catholic, we've got a big change in the 43-year history of this publication. We're getting ready. We're doing it now, literally, and we're going to talk about it here in a second.
Oh, boy.
A big, big change to the way we distribute and produce the Bayou Catholic. So. Uh-huh. That, I guess that's the main topic of what we need to talk about this morning.
So you have an editor that's departing and one that's coming in, right?
Right. What happened is Janet Marcel, who has been with the diocese for 25 years, a good chunk of that with the Bayou Catholic, has taken a new position at the Nichols Foundation at Nichols State in Thibodaux. So we're very happy for Janet. It's a great position for her.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds that these two things are happening at the exact same time and it just happened that way? Janet's leaving to go to Nichols, but we had already been discussing here at the diocese a bit of a change to the Bayou Catholic. So this is what we're doing.
Okay.
Currently, we are a 12-month a year, we distribute the magazine monthly.
Right.
Just like you, I'm having a hard time getting the words together.
It's Monday.
So
it's okay.
It's a monthly magazine. It is a monthly magazine. What we are changing to, David, is something that's going to be more like a six-month, maybe an eight-month, and you would say, well, wait a second. So you go on every other month? No, that's not exactly what we're doing. Here comes the unique aspect of what we're doing.
Okay.
We're going to a distribution schedule that follows more or less the liturgical seasons. In other words, we've got a new issue we're going to talk about here in a second.
Okay.
We'll call it the Back to School. We're going to take a couple of months off, come back with an Advent issue probably in November, then a Christmas issue in December, take a month or two off, then come back with a Lent issue, and then an Easter season. So you follow the pattern
of where
we're going.
I do, and I think it's I think it's wonderful because of the way it is published. It's still going to be in that magazine form, right?
Right. It's going to look exactly the same,
right?
But it's just going to be distributed in a little bit of a different way. So it's going to be a little hard for some people to get used to. I understand that because it won't be every other month evenly. We're about to skip 2 months.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'll be more than happy to come talk to y'all a month from now and 2 months from now, although we're not going to have a new Bayou Catholic yet.
Yeah.
The next Bayou Catholic probably will not be till November. So
we'll get you on just
a
visit, Lonnie. We like talking to you. So really what it's going to be like is if I get the Advent issue, it's probably going to, it's something that I could refer to through the whole Advent season because you're probably going to have things in there that guide you through the season. Is that what I'm
exactly?
What I'm, okay,
exactly,
okay.
Dave. It won't be something that will be limited to just the month of November or the month of exactly, because as we know, some seasons last 4 weeks, but some are more like eight,
right.
And then others are and in fact, we'll probably have an ordinary time issue.
Oh, there
you
go.
That may sound kind of funny, but so anyway, we're working out all the bugs of the distribution, but that's what's changing in the Bayou Catholic.
Yeah, you might have to call it something else rather than the ordinary time issue, because it may not sell
right.
so much.
Well, there's a lot of
extraordinary time.
There might be a lot of ordinary people out there who would be interested.
I consider myself very ordinary.
There you go.
Be right up my alley for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so the bishop has a column on the Back to School. Talk about that.
Right, and of course, this issue, of course, which will be a regular issue of the magazine, will be the Back to School issue, and Bishop's column this week on this month, is on, it's called Sent to Serve, A Personal Encounter, and talking about Back to School. And, he talks about, Dave, the real goal of Catholic education. What is the real goal? The real goal is bringing students to a real and personal encounter with Jesus.
Yes.
Now, is it about Catholic identity? Is it about teaching them their faith? And absolutely.
Yes, yes.
But what is the real goal? They have got to have that real personal encounter with Jesus. And I think all of us would agree, and that is what the column is about, literally in one sentence.
Oh, that's fantastic. Getting Catholic education back to the Catholic part, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, yes. Exactly. Yes. We are strong. And our superintendent, Dr. Mark Williams, is powerfully strong on that point. And wow. I mean, yeah. We are really excited where things are going in Catholic education in our diocese right now.
All right. Then you have another area, Hearts of Conversion. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Great story. This is a great story. It's actually a couple we featured a little over a year ago. We're doing a follow-up. They're married doctors, Dr. Devin and Dr. Ashley Owens, who moved here from another state a few years ago. One was Methodist. Mm-hmm. One was Baptist.
Yes.
But what the story is their conversion, their family's conversion to Catholicism. It is a tremendous story.
It is.
I would encourage anybody, go to page 22 in the magazine. That is a great story, how this couple, they now have two kids. They've got another one on the way.
Yes.
And their conversion to the Catholic faith. And it's one of those, wow, what have we been missing our entire lives?
I met this couple, and I was blown away by their conversion and what brought them into the Catholic faith. It is something. So, I highly recommend it. I'm glad you got that written down because that is, I love conversion stories, but boy, this one's a doozy. So this is great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you covered the ordination, so you got pictures and such from the three new guys.
Yeah, page 26. Again, what happened is one of our new guys, Father Davis Ahambisiwe, was actually ordained in Uganda about a week and a half before our other two guys, who are both from Houma, Joseph Laperouse and Matthew Prosperi. So he had to be ordained in Uganda, came back here, and actually served at the Mass that would have been his ordination Mass, if you follow me, and served at the Mass of his two brother seminarians. So the point being is we now have three brand new priests here in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, from Uganda, two of them from the Houma area, and are we excited? Oh, yeah.
I bet you are.
Great day for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux.
Wow. And so they've already been assigned? They're already at work, huh?
They're all at work. All three at their new parishes. And things are going well. And we are excited, as you might imagine.
I can only imagine. We were talking about that all last week, and we were talking about that during the Feast of St. Jean Vianney, how valuable our priests are. And boy, what we've gone through, I'm sure you're aware, having lost a priest, then we see the value and the hole that leaves. Yeah. So,
and thanks for reminding me about that, David. I mean, our prayers here in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux with Father Beard and his family and his church family. I mean, that was a tragedy on a level I don't think any of us will ever be able to comprehend. Right. I mean, my eyes are tearing up even saying these words right now. I mean, it's just unbelievably tragic.
Yeah, it is. It is. So we need to pray for these guys. We need to pray for more of these guys. And we need to pray for these guys to be as passionate as that man was, don't we?
I agree.
All right. And now you have another back-to-school column from the superintendent. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Dr. Mark Williams talks about back-to-school. And, you know, this year, a couple important things. One is virtue. What is the theme of this academic year? Virtue. He said that will be our primary theme. And he said if we had to have a biblical or a scriptural passage that will sum up this year, all of our principals and presidents met, and they decided Colossians 4, verse 6, let the words you speak always be filled with grace.
Nice.
That is the magic scriptural passage for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux Catholic Schools for this school year.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. And then last, you have the Diocesan 2021-2022 financial summary. Do you even want to talk about that?
Real quick, we're in good shape.
Good. Okay, well, let's talk about
it. Well, I would just say this, considering, like everyone else, that double whammy of COVID, you know, 3 years ago,
Ida.
And then obviously Hurricane Ida. I mean, Hurricane Ida, let's not forget, in this diocese, we had something like $180 million of damage between our 39 church parishes and our 10 schools.
Yeah.
That is off the chart. The point is the fact that we're in such good financial shape. We are solid, stable, you know, that's awesome. I mean, thank God.
thank God indeed. Wow, that is wonderful to know. Lonnie, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so this issue is already out, am I right?
Yes, it got out this weekend, so you can get it in any of our church parishes, or go to our website, BayouCatholic.org or HTDiocese.org, and then just click on the Bayou Catholic box.
HTDiocese.org, or then these locations. Okay, we will do that. Mm-hmm. And once again, when you're making these changes as far as the issues coming out in liturgical times, when does that begin? Is that right away? Will this be the last issue? Okay.
Exactly, Dave. Right now is kind of the last issue. Again, we will very likely take off September and October and come back at some point in November with an Advent issue.
Okay. Correct. Well, Lonnie, we're going to call you back. We'll think of something to talk about.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks for joining us again, Lonnie.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
it. All right. What a wonder. I mean, it's a wonderful issue. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to look through one, Damien, but it is just it'll captivate you.
I get mine in my mailbox.
Yeah, it's a great publication.
I love getting it.
Yeah, it's really good. All right. Well, when we come back, Gabby's going to be talking to Alan Migliorato because she's got concerns. Anyway,
questions.
Yeah, there you go. It's the bottom of the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is Alan Migliorato. Alan is a Catholic speaker and author of the book Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, and so many others. You can go to AdventureCatholic.com to find out more. Today, we are talking about preteens, because every Monday we talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. Alan, I'm not there yet. I'm not in the teenager phase with my son. We're in the preteen phase, and it's a journey. You know, we're getting there. So I'd love to talk about it, and here's some thoughts. I'm taking mental notes. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, Gabby. Well, first thing that you need is a big box of tissues and to know that it does not get any better. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, boy.
It is a hormone cocktail between 6th and 8th grade, and it's one of those things where you're like, oh my gosh, who is this child? I left you in 5th grade. I remember you in 5th grade. Who are you in 6th grade, and who are you in 7th and 8th? And they hit those kids, you know, and there's nothing that they can really do about it. You know, the hormones that kind of kick in and the changes, and they just really want, they focus on being accepted and all that insecurity that kind of gets filtered into them by everything around them, everyone around them. Everyone's starting to develop and look a little bit older, and some kids don't, and some kids do quicker, and it's just that really awkward time. I was out at dinner last night, and there was a group of, like, 12 and 13-year-old girls who I happen to know, all of them, of course, and, like, one of them came up to me, and it was her birthday, and then she was introducing me to all her friends as they showed up, and I thought, it's so sweet, you know, but, like, it's just such an awkward age. You know, where they want to be accepted. They don't know what to say. They don't know what their bodies are doing. I think the biggest thing we can do as parents is really to just kind of remember, like, they will get through that. We went through it, and they'll get through it. But when it comes to our faith, you know, that's where it can start to get shaken, where they can start to really put the world ahead of what, you know, what their mission is here on earth. And that's to remember that they're first and foremost a child of God. They're a child of God, and that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that our faith comes first. This is where it starts to get shaken. Middle school is where those foundations get tested more than anywhere. When they're in high school, of course, they're tested more and more, but that middle school era is a tough one.
I think so, too, and reflecting back as we get into the first day of school, the first week of school, we're approaching that, I reflect back on my time in the 6th grade or 7th grade. I do remember a little bit and just the awkwardness or kind of, you know, those moments that you remember from that time. It's different now because I didn't have a cell phone or an iPad in the 6th or 7th grade. Mm. You know, when we went on the computer, you had to go when mom wasn't talking on the phone for, you know, an hour, and you had to share the computer, the family computer, with your siblings. Right. These days, there's a lot of pressure with mobile devices, getting a cell phone, social media. just different things to the point where you're wondering, we're wondering as millennial parents, what do we do? Because it's a different world than when we were kids, and that wasn't too long ago.
Well, I think what parents do, and it's a natural reaction, is they want to control what's happening more and more. I think that's a big mistake. I think that we have to let our kids be in control of things and not just like, okay, well, I'm choosing not to go to church. That's not what I'm talking about. What I mean is, like, choose to let them be leaders. Like, give them responsibilities. Show them, like, look, you're being older, you're getting more mature, and we're going to give you more responsibility. So, like, you're in charge of dinner on one night, or you're, you know, I'm not going to remind you to do your homework, because if you get a bad grade, there's consequences, and that's how it gets when you get older. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't tell you, you know, at midnight, hey, you forgot to do your project, so we're going to run out to Walmart that's open for 24 hours, and I'll buy you everything you need and do it for you. Yeah. Like, you got to let them fail at times, mm-hmm. and it's a hard thing to do and a hard thing to watch, but I promise they won't keep doing it. There may be a gap where they do, but they won't keep doing it because of the consequences that we have to give them. See, with the use of, like, the cell phone and the social media, we think that kids are more mature now. They're not. They're they're more immature for a longer period of time, but they're exposed to mature things. So they don't know how to handle them. They don't know how, you know, that what's right, what's wrong. This might look like what all adults do, but it's not, you know. And so, like, keeping that foundation of faith, like, hey, you know, where would you? We're gonna do a prayer this evening. You lead the prayer for dinner. You know, you're gonna do a closing prayer, mm-hmm. or an opening prayer for dinner. However your family works that, let the kids be in charge of it. You know, have a challenge them to do a rosary with you once a month or however that works in your family. But keep God as the focus for your kids. You know, and talk to them. Talk to them now and ask more questions about God now than you ever have before. This is when they start questioning things, and you have to be ready to field those questions and to kind of give them answers or be honest and say you don't know and find out together.
Mm-hmm. These are good notes. Alan, one of the things that a lot of the school moms and I talk about whenever we gather together for events are the moods, okay? Where every child is different and we're experiencing all of them at different points and times, and sometimes it's just out of the blue. How do we deal with this? How do we go through life with this without, you know, reciprocating with an outburst, you know, toward them?
I think just making them, and it's, first of all, that's a great question, because it's hard to do. Your kid's like, whatever, and you're like, oh my gosh, no, child, you'll meet Jesus right now. Like, I will bring you to him right now. Like, you want to respond that way, but it's almost got to be like, do you hear how you responded to me just now? How would you expect me to react to you? Just be aware of it. Sometimes, and I know this is a hard thing to believe, but sometimes they cannot control the emotions. Kind of like, you know, hitting your knee or your shin on a hitch behind a car. We're going to say words that we may not want to say in front of our pastor, but it's going to come out, and we're going to feel bad about it, and our kids are probably going to hear it, but then you're going to be like, oh, that was stupid. You know, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And that reflection is what we have to help our kids get to. So, hey, do you think how you just responded to me was polite and appropriate and kind? Because I don't want to respond to you that way, and you're testing me right now. So, like, I don't want to respond to you. I'm going to give you a minute to think about that, to apologize, because that was rude. And that takes practice and patience, and, oh, my gosh, it's so hard to do.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I love those. Or the typical, huh? You know, those, that's, like, number one in the book right now. And I love repeating it to him, and he's like, I didn't talk like that. You know, so it's a journey. So I'm taking notes. Thank you so much, Alan. Hey, you're coming to our area in just a few weeks. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am. Yeah, I'm going to be at Mary Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Mandeville on Thursday the 24th. And Friday the 25th of August at 6:30 p.m. And we're going to do a parent night on Thursday night, and then a parents and teens together on Friday night. And oh my gosh, I hope you all show up, because I'd love to see you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to email you and tell you, like, the times that I'm flying in, and I got all kinds of extra time, so we'll get together. But yeah, parents, if you're listening, get there on Thursday with your spouse. I know school just started. Stop with the excuses already. And then Friday, bring your kids, because this is important. Keeping your faith first is important.
Absolutely. Get to meet him in person. I love it. Yay. I'm looking forward to that.
I want to meet him. I want to meet him in person. Yeah. So we need to all go to dinner and have a good time.
That's right.
I love
fun.
It. Alan, is there a cost to the talk? Or is it anyone can
charge? No, I'm not charging any. I don't think that the church is charging anything to come. I mean, listen, if they are, I'll talk loud. You can stand outside.
There you go.
I think it's free for everybody. So, yeah, just show up. Just show up and share Christ. Let's share Christ together.
Hey, wonderful.
I love it. CCmedia.live is where that information is. You definitely want to hear Alan and ask him all of the questions that you may have, because he has an answer to all of them. I don't think there's been one question, Alan, that you have not answered, or a conversation that we have not laughed about, or at least walked away with some kind of fruit to it. So thank you so much for joining us. Where can we go to find out more about the books you've written, and also maybe listen to some of the podcasts that you've been on?
Yeah, you can find me on AdventureCatholic.com or on Facebook. If you guys are on Facebook, you look up Adventure Catholic, and that's my page as well. And God bless you guys, and have a great week. And listen, Gabby, hang in there. They will get older, and you'll look back and laugh or cry. But either way, they're going to get older.
I know. I just hug him a little bit tighter every day. Thank you so much, Alan, for being with us. Alan Migliorato, right, co-author guys. Of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Father Donald Calloway joins us when we come back from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Minutes before the top of the hour. Happy Monday, everyone. Damian Collado, David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith. We're all here with someone I know everyone is familiar with, that being Father Donald Calloway. He is a Catholic priest. He's also a speaker and author. And we're going to talk to him this morning about Champions of the Rosary. It's a book he's written. It's called The History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. And I love that aspect of the Rosary. In fact, y'all may remember not long ago in the media, us Catholics were getting hit with the fact that the rosary was used as a weapon.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Father Donald?
Yeah, you know, that just came out of nowhere, didn't it?
It's sure kind
of like, what are they talking about? Of course, I mean, it's a weapon, but we understand that it's a spiritual weapon. We're not out there hurting people physically with it. That's just silly.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So share with everyone. By the way, this is a great book because you not only talk about the history of the rosary, but also the heroes associated with it. And the fact it's 428 pages. How long did it take you to put this in writing?
Yeah, I would say about 2 years, and the research took about 2 years as well. And a lot of people said, Father, how in the world did you write a book that big on the rosary? And, you know, when you get all that information about the saints who promoted it and apparitions associated with it, shrines and all that stuff, it adds up. And so I collected it, kind of made it come together and put it out there.
Well, it's a comprehensive piece. And what was your primary purpose of putting this book together since the rosary's been around for centuries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people, maybe they've grown up Catholic and maybe they prayed it when they were young or they were familiar with it. But, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people have kind of fallen away from some of these pious practices. And I think it's good to bring it back. I think that in the times we're living in, with all the craziness in the world and even in the church, there's so much division and confusion. I think it's time to get back to the basics. And the rosary is basically Christianity 101. And I think it's a good way to get back to the sacred mysteries.
What do you find the most interesting piece of history when it comes to the rosary? Was it the connection with St. Dominic? Maybe the connection with the Marian Psalter?
Oh, there's so much there. Yeah, one thing that when I was doing the research, I discovered a lot of the stuff myself in the research, and there's so many aspects of it. I think for me, it's, you know, in different countries throughout history, whenever there's some crisis, some ideology, some dictator, whatever, you know, people gather together and they pray the rosary to help combat it, to overcome it. And you can look at, you know, Colombia, Brazil, the Philippines, Canada, you can look at all these countries, and there's always something to do with the rosary saving them from some ideology. And I just love that stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And that's kind of where the spiritual weapon comes in, right? I mean, I can remember as a child, my mom saying, you have to learn how to pray the rosary for the conversion of Russia. And lo and behold, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, Russia converts. I mean, that doesn't mean it.
We got more praying to do.
Well, no, but at that time, Father Calloway knows what I'm talking about, in regards
absolutely.
To that.
That, and you know, there's I've got tons of those stories in the book where, you know, just even if it's a small group of people, or as it often is the case, and I love this, you know, it's a bunch of grannies praying the rosary, you know, that bring down some commie, you know. I love it. I love that kind of stuff.
Amen to that.
I heard it put that way, but okay.
But the rosary is there. How do we use it as a weapon today from a spiritual perspective, of course? We don't want to be flinging it around trying to defend ourselves if we're getting robbed or something, but the point is, but I could see where you could take it out of your pocket. I've envisioned this. I've meditated and take a rosary out of my pocket, hold the crucifix up while I start praying the rosary in front of somebody. If ever I was mugged, I'm going, that's my self-defense. I don't carry a weapon.
I love it. So you know, in a certain sense, you know, Catholics, we open carry. We got a rosary in our pocket.
Open carry.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's locked and loaded. You know,
those things
are bullets. Spirits are bullets. And, I think, you know, what we mean by that, you know, spiritual weapon is that it's based on the Word of God. So almost all of the prayers of the rosary come right out of the Bible. So the Word of God, it says, the prophet Isaiah says, is a sharp two-edged sword. It can cut through bone and marrow, and it never returns void. It always brings about fruit. And so when we pray the rosary, the Our Father, the Hail Marys, meditating on the mysteries, we're entering into spiritual combat. We're unsheathing a spiritual sword, and we're going to town on the devil and his darkness. And so that's what we mean by it. So if you got family problems, you know, there's problems in politicians and all that stuff, let's unsheathe that spiritual sword and be using it every day.
Yeah, we're talking to Father Donald Calloway about his book, Champions of the Rosary, The History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. The book, it's set up into three parts, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Exactly. Yeah, kind of historical. Yeah.
Okay, and break it down real quick for us, if you can.
Yeah, so, you know, first I basically kind of unpack the origins of it. You know, there's definitely a time when it was given to us. Our Lady gave it to St. Dominic. But there were some things that kind of preceded it, some various forms of prayer, using beads and counting and those kind of things. So I break that down. And then I get into kind of a historical, just going from its founding, when Our Lady gave it to St. Dominic, and then all the people after that promoted it, popes, saints, mystics, you know, great lay people who did tremendous things praying the rosary. And then the last section is, I emphasize in particular 26 particular people who I call the champions of the rosary that seem to have promoted it more than anybody else. And I give great quotes from them and, you know, resources from them that people can even delve deeper. So that's the kind of the three sections.
Great. And of course, you've written a number of other books, and we're running out of time, but I do want to plug at least a friend of yours, attorney Scott L. Smith, who's an underwriter here at Catholic Community Radio. You guys teamed up after you came out with Consecration to St. Joseph, a wonderful book.
Yes.
In fact, we here at the radio station consecrated ourselves to St. Joseph.
Yep.
And the follow-up was the Consecration to St. Joseph for Children and Family. I thought that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we thank you so much for your writings and for your work and just for being out there and being a true warrior for Christ. And I want to give you one last plug, if I can. You got a trip coming up to Medjugorje to celebrate your 20th anniversary as a priest in April of next year. And I think you're going with your mom.
Oh,
that's right. Okay. Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be such a special trip. We're going to have several priests on it as well. And my mom is a saint. I love that woman. She's amazing. So, yeah, coming up in April. And if people want to find out about that pilgrimage or the other ones or the books, just go to fathercalloway.com. You got to spell out the father part. So it's fathercalloway.com, and you'll see all that stuff there.
go there, and it's a treasure trove of information. Of course, Father, we would, before we depart, can you leave us with a blessing this morning to get our week started off on the right foot?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, pour down your graces and mercies upon all the listeners, their families, their intentions. Help them with your grace and mercy and the protection of Our Lady and Saint Joseph to grow in holiness and virtue. And we ask this blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Donald Calloway, thank you so much for being with us this morning and taking time out.
Thanks, my friends. God bless you.
Okay, God bless. Fun man to hang out with.
It's incredible.
Too.
His original story, No Turning Back. If you ever get a chance to read that book, will blow your mind. Yeah. I mean, where he came from and why he's a priest now. Incredible. You talk about conversion.
Yeah. And to think it was almost 20 years ago.
And his mother is a saint, by the way.
Yes. Definitely check that out. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have events in your listening area. We will give you details about Patricia Davis, Superintendent of Catholic Schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, updates us. Paul Kenger talks about his book, The Catholic Church on Slavery, The Worst of Indignities. And Matt Estrada with Catholic Agent and Peace with Dementia Rosary updates us. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.